Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, Poorly Read, the humorous pinata where you smack it fucking hard and spooky treats come out.
Yes. Treats that nobody wants.
Well, some members of the community do.
And to each their own.
God, no, it's a Harry Potter podcast where we talk about Harry and all the pottery he does.
Yes.
He makes all kinds of phallic vases.
Puts them up all around a magic castle.
Yeah, he does. And you put flowers in them.
And everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? Walking around. Saying he defeated a dark lord.
Who's this guy and why does he have flowers? Why do I keep on waking up with dirt stains on my sheets? Dirt stains in my sheets and pollen in my urethra.
Also, didn't he start out by saying he makes pots? How do we get here?
He's a man for all seasons. No, he's a fucking boy wizard who does things, puts his wand everywhere.
He sure does things.
Yes.
He's been doing lots of things. They're about to culminate.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of sad, the ramp up to the final. This is our penultimate fucking Harry Potter book episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Can't believe we got here, man.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that song that goes...
That song with sort of exasperated half giving up sigh.
Well, every song that I could think of was when, like, oh no, maybe like End of the Road by Boyz II Men. That one.
The end of the road.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
The end of the Harry Potter road. The end of the yellow brick road, but it's not yellow brick. The end of the spooky brick road. Everyone's holding onto handrails. Like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, it's so spooky.
You're not going to slip and break your coccyx. Anyway, yeah, fucking hell. So you got one more episode after this, guys, and then Harry's going to be fucking...
potting somewhere else.
Yeah. And you'll have to find another Harry Potter podcast that's not as good as ours to fulfill your Potter needs. If you find any, like, imitators that come along after us, guys, I want you to fucking email us and send us, like, a sample of their work. Unless they're like professional comedians, and even then I'd be like, yeah, we did that joke already.
Yeah, that joke about like Harry skull fucking Voldemort or whatever.
So you guys won't know this, but like really fucking early on we made a joke about like Voldemort, about there being like a Voldemort fleshlight, which is like, I don't know if you don't know what that is, it's like a sex toy, I guess. And that we was using like Voldemort's head as one or something, and that we like would fuck him in the nostrils or something. And we deemed that too risque to include in the podcast.
Yeah, back in the early days, we cut that because we were like, no, that's a little too strong. Which seems crazy now.
It fucking does. The stuff that we cut now is stuff that we're truly fucking ashamed of.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, how times change. I wonder if like a year from now, we'll look back on stuff we cut now and think, oh my God, that was like tame.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never, I mean, it's like, it would seem like that's the natural way things would go, but I shudder to think what fucking new levels of depravity we would reach to think that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, fucking chapter 32. The old bastard wand.
Yeah, the older wand. Percy won't move from Fred's body.
No, he's too busy trying to remove his tongue from his younger brother's rectum. He's like, it's what we do when a Weasley dies. Yeah. You have to lick out the last nugget.
Right before we bury him in the yard. Mouth to vag, of course. Callback. I got one.
Oh my God, brilliant.
I've remembered a joke we made in the past.
That one came back a few times, actually. I'm of all the jokes. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, and like Harry's like, we got to go. And Ron's obviously having like a mind.
Put yourself together.
Yeah, put yourself together, man. And he takes out a white glove and slaps him around the face 3 times.
Yeah.
As they do. Ugh. I meant a fancy opera glove, not a fucking, like, a doctor's prostate checker glove.
He grabs whatever glove will get the job done.
But yeah, like, the trio sort of, like, run from the scene because more Death Eaters and stuff arrive, and they hide behind a tapestry, which I didn't really understand because I was like, the space behind a tapestry is very, like... It's only like centimeters wide, but there's like a doorway with stairs behind the tapestry for some reason. And like, she's like, Harry, you need to like have a little peekaboo into Voldemort's mind so we know what he's doing and where he's gone, because the snake is the only Horcrux left now. And Harry's like, okay, so he closes his eyes and squints really hard when he does a little poo by accident. And he's like, sorry about that.
Voldemort hasn't been in hours.
Oh god, but yeah, he sees Voldemort in the shrieking shack.
The fucking shrieking shack.
That sounds like, what kind of like takeaway would that be?
Like banshee cuisine?
No, like if it was just in like the muggle world, I feel like it'd be like a seafood takeout place on like the seaside, maybe. And on top of it, there was sort of like a ship, like half a ship, as like part of like the like building decor.
Yeah,
like a fishnet and stuff.
Would it be a shakarak?
Yeah, and you get like crab sticks and fish sticks and cockles
and other kinds of sea sticks.
Yeah. Other types of fishy, aromatic cuisine, like snatch cakes. Yeah, boy.
That's what, maybe we should just make this episode the callback joke episode.
Yeah. Should we see how many we can fit in from like past episodes?
Yeah. I feel like we've between us have probably forgotten most of them.
Yeah, I was literally trying to think of a single one just then, and I couldn't think of one. I don't know, maybe. Oh no, okay, I've got one I can pull out that I'll have to do.
I'll just see if any jump into my head.
But yeah, he sees that Vold is in the Shrieking Shack and he's talking to Lucius Malfoy, who I've decided I want to call Lucky Malfoy from now on.
Yeah, Lucky Malf.
Yeah. Lucky is in like the character from the Britney Spears song. Yeah.
Is that a character called Lucky?
Yeah, because she starts a song by going, "This is a story about a girl named Lucky. Early morning, she wakes up."
Huh.
Yeah. Isn't she lovely, this Hollywood star? And they say... Yeah, and then what does Voldemort say? I don't think he says anything really important.
He's got the snake and a sparkly bubble.
Yeah, which is like fucking hell, contrived plot device number one.
Is it?
Just because of the way it's like implemented later, and I'm just like... Mm.
I don't know if it's contrived, though.
That bit isn't. That bit makes sense. Okay, the use of that snake later is contrived, I'd say.
What, when Dumbledore says there'll come a time when Voldemort makes a deliberate
effort to... No, when he fucking uses the snake to kill Snape just so that Harry's got enough time to get the memories out of him.
Oh, yeah. That's dumb. He would have just like cadavered him, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that, right, yeah, okay. I'm on board there.
Yeah, but then Harry comes back into the room, and then he's like, fucking hell. Yeah, he snakes in a bubble now. And you're all like, ah, bollocks.
Yeah, also sorry about the little poo I did.
And Hermione's like, don't worry, I saved it and put it in my little bag.
It's going to join my army.
Yes. Oh, wait, what was that joke? I do remember that.
It was vaguely. Something about Hermione having an army of little poos.
Her palmy.
Yeah.
Before she puts it in like the little bag, she's like etches like a lightning bolt scar into the top of it and does little like spectacle markings.
And then another little symbol.
Yeah.
A more symmetrical one.
Yes, this is Baron von Harry Pooter. Oh, fucking hell. Then they look over the way and fucking Fenrir Greyback is attacking.
Fucking Fenrir Greyback. Get some fucking crystal ball in his head.
Yeah, because he was fucking munching on Lavender Brown, and then they curse him, and Trelawney drops a crystal ball with, like, expert aim, it seems, on his head.
Yeah.
You know, I assume it killed him, because a crystal ball from any kind of height is, like, pretty, like, lethal.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, like, dense glass, I guess.
Yeah. And we don't hear from him again in the book, so I'm assuming he died.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he seems like he might have some kind of superhuman toughness just because of the whole wolf thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think if it was anywhere else apart from his head...
Yeah.
But let's hope he died. He's a bad man.
He's a bad man.
Anyway, then there's fucking spider. I was attempting to do an accent, but then I gave up halfway through. And fucking spiders appear.
Oh, God, yeah.
I know. Oh. I literally fucking almost threw my phone across the room. So fucking the giant spiders appear and...
People start throwing curses at them because it's an army of giant spiders charging through their doors
like,
and attacking
them. Fucking hurt him! Don't hurt him! And he fucking runs towards him.
And then Harry runs out from under the invisibility cloak like, Hagrid, no! And I'm like... You guys,
I would have literally just turned and looked the other way and just tried to like hum over the screams of Hagrid dying. Just hum like Auld Lang Syne. Oh god, but yeah, Hagrid gets fucking like carried away by the spiders and Harry like tries to follow suit.
Yeah, Harry chases after him, like just runs out from the invisibility cloak, disregards all like safety.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Hagrid, no, I still care about you for some reason.
Yes, I can't get your brand of cream cheese anywhere.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Anyway, so fucking the trio are outside now, and then the Dementors, well, it gets like spookily quiet, and a chill is in the air, and then the Dementors.
And then Dementors.
Yeah, Dementors with their hooded face. They come around the corner, they're all over the place. Dementors.
Ooh, chili.
Oh, God. And Harry's fucking trying to conjure a Patronus and he can't, and the other two can't. And Harry's kind of glad that death is like imminent.
Yeah, and we see Ron's terrier. I can't think of a time where I'm sure this isn't the first instance of Ron's Patronus we've had, but I can't think of another time when
we saw it in the film 5.
I remember
maybe
that.
But I think we do hear that Hermione's Patronus isn't Otter in book 5, so I imagine at the same time.
Yeah, I think we do.
Ron's in. No, we must do, because
I know they're all practicing them in like the DA practice and stff.
Yeah, so, and I remember Cho going, oh, they are rather pretty, aren't they? So I reckon we must have seen everyone's.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry's fucking pretty, isn't it? Harry, if you think my Patronus is pretty, you should see me fucking badge. I've shaved it into a swan as well, Harry.
It's 3D, so it protrudes.
It's a bit hard to navigate, but... You know, it's all part of the experience.
Where are you from exactly, Joe?
Oh, you know, here and there.
Somewhere sort of vaguely north.
In a place where it's cold enough that you got to keep your badge hair long.
And practice topiary down there.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, and then they are failing with the Patronuses because they're too spooked. And then Luna, Dean and Seamus show up with...
With their Patronuses at.
Their Patroni.
Yes.
I like that word more. Their patrons. Like, oh, Harry, we're starting a podcast.
Look how many patrons we've got. Yeah, I think it's Luna and Ernie McMillan and Seamus.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Dean.
I wrote Luna, Ernie and Seamus.
Okay, well, you're probably right.
So I guess if there's any mystery Patronus in there, it's probably Ernie's.
Yeah, well, I guess we haven't seen the others, right?
I guess we haven't seen Seamus's.
I would imagine, I'm surprised that Seamus is not a leprechaun. Or just like an animated pint like of Guinness.
Yeah, just a bottle of whiskey.
Just like a potato that's grown arms.
It's Mr. Potato Head.
Anyway, so Luna's like, oh, don't worry, Harry, just think of something happy. And if I was Harry, I would have been like, you better fuck right off.
Yeah, oh,
right,
thanks. Now. Thanks, Luna.
Oh, thanks, Luna. I never fucking thought of that before. You stupid cunt. So there's no need to call me a cunt, Harry. Think of a more creative term. And he's like, I know, you're a Venus flytrap. There we go.
A salmon fillet.
You're a Big Mac with cheese. There we go. Anyway, so they manage to get away and they run towards the Whomping Willow.
Yes, because they're going to confront Voldy and get his snake, basically.
Yeah. Get their hands around that scaly mess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like this bit because they're like, oh, fuck, how are we going to press the thing to get into the thing?
It's a nice callback to book one. Because so Ron says, oh, how are we going to get in? If only we had Crookshanks again. And Hermione goes, Crookshanks, are you a wizard or not? And he's like, oh, yeah. And it's a nice callback to that moment in book one with the devil's snare. And Hermione's like, fire, oh, yeah, but I haven't got any wood. And Ron's like, you haven't got any wood? Are you a witch or not?
I do know what, because I thought it sounded familiar. And I was like, huh, what's that about? But I couldn't place it. Well done, Tom.
Thank you, thank you.
10 points to Eagle Foot. So yeah, Wingardium Leviosa's a twig that pokes into the hole.
Right.
So yeah, they get to the bottom of the Shrieking Shack. That sounds like the start of a nursery rhyme. They got to the bottom of the Shrieking Shack and they lift up the lid and are taking her back. You know, they open up like a hatch in the floor a little bit and Voldemort happens to be right there as well as Snape.
Yeah, they can hear Voldy's voice from inside the room and then they hear Snape's voice and it's like, oh shit, he's right next to us.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's a bit of a coinkydink that Voldemort was right there and not at like the very top of the shack, which is where I would be if I was a supervillain.
I imagine the shack to be quite small.
What, like a bungalow?
Like a shed, basically.
Oh, really?
Well, they say it's too small for the DA practice.
No, but don't they say that more because of, like, it's not stable enough to hold... I think, because, like, no singular room is big enough for the DA. But if it's... I think it's pretty big. If it's meant to be, like, a haunted place that's, like, big enough to be noted, I imagine it's, like, how big it is in the film.
Like a house, like a tumble-down, yeah, like a ramshackle house.
Yeah, ramshackle. Sounds like a Jamaican sex move.
I was gonna say it's Kingsley's brother.
Yes, we don't talk about here.
Old ramshackle shackle bolt.
Or his name is just ramshackle bolt.
Yeah, so people started to call him ramshackle.
But you got to say, like, ramshackle, like that.
Yes, it makes white people very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, Mrs. Weasley's like, ramshackle.
He's like,
ramshackle.
No, it's a ramshackle.
Yeah, she's that's like, not my name. And then she's like, oh, please don't make me say it. Yeah, but Voldemort is sitting there, like, fingering his wand and pondering why it's not being cool. Fingering his bony wand.
With the knobbly, weirdly anal bead-looking bits on it.
Oh, of course he is still. I'm thinking he's still got his wand, but he hasn't, isn't he? He's got the Dumble wand.
The Dumble wand, yeah.
Yeah.
It's no wonder it's got fucking anal beads on it.
Yeah. anal beads and dried blood and obviously fecal matter. But yeah, Voldemort's like, I have not been able to do my usual magic. No, my good ass magic with this wand. And Snape's like,
Your ass magic has been exemplary.
Yes, I have loved the way you have taken a fibrous movement to a whole new level. It's been like a whole new world. And the Voldemort's like,
a fantastic point of view.
Snape's like, there's no one to tell us no. Or where to go. Or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes. Yeah, Snape just like lowers himself onto Voldemort's lap.
They just sit on Nagini. Just start floating around the room.
And then it's like the key change, like, now I'm in a whole new world. Yeah, and then Voldemort's like, no, I've done my usual magic, but
I am extraordinary.
Yes, I'm as extraordinary as a jammy dodger with extra cream. He's like, but jammy dodgers only have jam. He's like, you're not thinking of the
festive editions.
And so he's like, they are quite extraordinary. Tell me, Dark Lord, do you like to nibble away the biscuit part first? You're just left with the jam inside.
Of course.
It's like we're made for each other. So the Voldemort's like, the reason why is because you're the one who killed Dumbledore, basically. So you're the true owner of this wand. While you're alive, it would not serve me.
Yes, and the whole time Snape's like begging him to let him go into the castle and find Harry.
Yeah, which makes you wonder, like, what was he going to say when he fucking found Harry?
You're the last Horcrux and you need to die.
I kind of imagine that he would have had his memories already in a vial or a file. I never know how to pronounce it because it's spelt like P-H-I-A-L, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I never know how
I feel like
it.
I've also seen it spelt V-I-A-L.
Should we Google it?
That might be a different thing, though.
Yeah, they're exactly the same thing. So I wonder why one is spelt weird and one is not. Ah, but which one is spelt weird? What a conundrum.
I feel like if it's pronounced with the V, then the Americans would have probably just made it spelled how it sounds because they do that.
Sense.
They look at the stupid English spellings of things and go, that's dumb. Let's make it make sense. And then the English go, fuck, but that's not right.
Yes, you need a U and a GH here.
Yeah.
So Voldemort's like, no. Harry Potter will come to me when I play this pan flute. He's like,
but first I need to kill you.
Yes. I need to kill you while playing the pan flute. Which is why I can't say this spell. I have to use my snake.
Aha! Now the plot makes sense. All right, go on now. Come on, Snakey.
Yeah, so fucking Voldemort sends his snake over. The bubble floats towards Snape, who can't move. And the bubble envelops Snape's head. And then Voldemort goes, kill! And the snake bites his Snape's like jugular, I guess.
Yeah.
He's like, arr, 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 arr.
Yeah, the only person we've seen get killed in this way.
Yeah, Nagini's only one. Yeah, this is the only time we see her kill, like, straight away. Although she did try and kill, what's his name that way? Mr. Weasley.
Oh, yeah. After that fun.
Yes, after their scaly encounter. After their reptilian romance. After their
eggs and bakey.
Oh, God, anyway, so Snape fucking starts to die and Voldemort spirits away with his snake in a bubble.
Yeah, and leaves him there, not quite dead. Just like you said, it's weird that that had never, that seems like the sort of thing that would jump out at me, but it didn't.
Yeah, it never occurred to me until, right, I've always thought it was a bit dumb, but it never occurred to me how unrealistic
how, like, inconsistent it is.
Yeah, because Voldemort wouldn't do that. He would just fucking have died.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Why
he
would
doesn't
he want
to about.
See his most faithful servant fucking endure a lengthy death like that?
Yeah.
Like, he's just not that way inclined. He likes things done in a very sort of smooth manner, I feel.
Yeah, he's just very no-nonsense.
Yeah.
And he's like, so, I need to kill... Also, his whole thing is that he himself needs to kill Snape because of the wand. So if there was... And I know, like, the snake is an extension of himself, but still, if there was ever a time for there to be absolutely no ambiguity in that Voldemort has been the one that kills Snape... Like,
yeah,
it,
I know what
like
you
it
mean.
Was this, it was this one. And I know, like, you know, it counts because the Snape is an extension of him and stuff, yeah. But you'd think that, like...
Like, just in case.
Just to be safe, I better do it myself.
Maybe because he knows he could make the Horcrux from the Basilisk death of Mona Myrtle, he's like, he knows that it's a thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't, like, he's just, like, he's not worried about that sort of minor technicality, maybe.
Yeah.
But even so, it's dumb. I would prefer it if he had Avada Kedavra in, and when Harry went over to his body, he, like, found that Snape was, like, clutching, like, a vial of memories or something.
Yeah, or, like, Snape... I mean, Snape's a smart guy. He could have put something in place where, like, he has safeguarded a vial of his memories that explains everything, and in the event of his death, something is triggered that gets it to Harry.
Yeah. So it just, like, appears in Harry's pocket, like how the Philosopher's Stone did or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked that too, actually. Alas, that's not what happens. Harry goes over to the bleeding Snape, and Snape's like, he goes like,
take my licky face tears.
yeah, because Snape's bleeding from every orifice, and then fucking like the spooky memory smoke starts coming out of his eyes and his mouth.
Yeah.
And then Hermione conjures like a glass vial / phial, and Harry fills it up with the memories. And then Snape's like, "Look at me,
one last time. Let me lick your cornea." And then goes bleh.
Yeah. So Harry takes his mother's eyes from his pocket and places them in Snape's mouth. It's like, yeah, that's what she would have wanted.
You always wanted these eyes, didn't you, mate?
If I had time, I'd find a way to engorge your pee hole and shove them down there.
Urethral beads.
Ew. Anyway, yeah, we fucking slingshot into chapter 33.
Yeah.
Can you say that in a Scouse accent? I was about to attempt, so I was like, I can't do that.
We fucking slingshot into chapter 33.
No, the prince's tail bit.
It's a fucking prince's tail.
Prince's tail.
Prince's
fucking prince's tail.
It's a fucking prince's fucking tail.
Dear prince's tail. Yeah, then Voldemort gives another spooky announcement through the walls and the air.
Yeah, another spooky announcement. Ooh.
Yeah, everyone gets like an alert on their phones. They're like,
yeah, it's like, oh shit, we've got 1 hour.
Yeah, look, it's counting down as we speak.
It's a set reminder. Set reminder, Dark Lord will kill us all.
Yeah, he's like, oh, can't be bothered to do the voice.
You have 1 hour.
I can't do the whole thing. It's too long.
I just love the idea of these characters doing like, like between their phrases.
My forces will retreat, and I'll wait for 1 hour in the forest for Harry Potter. If you don't come, Harry, the battle will restart, and this time I will come into the fray looking for you.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. I had a jam of dodger in my throat. Anyway.
Yeah, so they've got 1 hour or Voldemort will rejoin the fray. The battle will restart and he will punish all of those who tried to keep Harry from him.
Yes, he will give them all poo-flavoured Bertie Bott sweets. He will give them a kilogram bag each and Harry they'll have to eat every single bean in the Great Hall while he's watching them. Anyone who doesn't comply, well, Everyone has to comply. Full stop.
I'm going to avada kedavra you all afterwards anyway.
Yes, there's either you die sooner or you die after eating a bag full of poo. In fact, anyone who doesn't comply will have to do the poo eating. Anyone who does comply, I will avada kedavra you quickly and without pain.
You will only have to eat small amount of poo.
Yes. I will shit directly into your mouth, but it's okay. It's like ghostly white Voldemort poo, like when dogs had too much calcium in their food. So, yeah, Harry's like, fucking hell, what am I gonna do? And then
Hermione's like, mate, I don't fucking know.
Everyone's like, calm down, calm down. So they all go back to the castle and it's all like eerily quiet and everyone's like dragging the dead bodies back into the hall.
Yeah, and the castle's fucked. Loads of like bits of brickwork blown out and dust and glass everywhere.
Yeah, do you know what I thought as well? Because are all the enchantments around Hogwarts down now? Because if anyone wanted to leave at that point, the exit back to the pub has been sealed off. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just curious because if I was like one of the younger students, I think I might at that point might want to go because I think I might be a bit too overwhelmed with all the dead bodies around me.
Yeah, I mean it can't be a whole lot of fun, can it?
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of fun. There's no. And
if it is a whole lot of fun, you're probably fighting for the wrong side.
Yeah, it's no fun house.
Mr. Blobby is not here.
No, but do you know, I think we talked about this before, but you can still rent the twins from Funhouse to be like, to make like appearances at your like event.
Twins from Funhouse?
Yeah, that was my joke, because the theme for Funhouse is whole lot of fun, prizes to be won. Funhouse with Pat Sharp. Then it was like the blonde twins.
Surely that was before your time.
No, it fucking wasn't. I don't like the accusation in your tone, Missy.
What, an accusation of you being young?
Yes, I want everyone to think I'm 62, but look great for my age.
Okay, but before our time, I have no recollection of that at all.
Really? Yeah. No, it was definitely on when we were kids, like on like CITV, and it wasn't like repeats or anything. It was like a new show, because I remember when Pat Sharp got a haircut.
It was one of the episodes of Funhouse.
Oh, God.
I went to a Noel's house party place.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that is also a Funhouse party. Oh, God. So anyway, yeah, they go back into the castle and Harry sees that fucking the Weasleys are all around the dead twin, being sad as you would. Molly's like flopped over his body.
Yeah.
Trying to spoon last bits of gravy into his mouth.
If I give him enough, maybe he'll wake up.
Yeah. Come on, dear, it's your favourite.
Arthur's like, Molly.
Molly. He used to say that the chunky kind was his favourite, but it wasn't. He just didn't want to hurt your feelings.
She's like, no, it's his favourite. She's squatting over a spoon.
Yeah. Look, I put a whole turnip in this one. Oh, God. And then Harry looks over the way and sees fucking Tonks and Lupin. And then he cries for one.
Yeah, and goes, oh, well, you know. Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah. Yeah, little fucking Teddy Lupin would be better off without a fucking embarrassment of a mother to pick him up from school.
Fucking hell.
Showed up with fucking pink hair and a duck's mouth. Fucking Teddy bitch.
I don't fucking think so.
Yeah.
Rather she's dead.
And he just kicks her in her minge and walks off. God, that's horrible. Anyway, so Harry, I don't know what the other two do, but Harry like runs up to Dumbledore's office.
Yeah, he just sort of runs off in all the emotional commotional.
That is like the perfect like 80s pop album title. Fucking Oh, man, I feel like we're going to need to make like a poorly written album at some point. Just
for all the great, because of all the great names we've stumbled across.
Things that I reckon if we actually put F into it, I think it'd be sick.
Yeah, for sure. We're geniuses at any craft we choose to turn our hand to.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Harry runs all the way out to the fucking headmaster's office, which must have left him fucking knackered, but he does it.
Yeah, and he just says, Dumbledore, to the gargoyle, and it jumps aside. Like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, Dumbledore! And the gargoyle's like, well, you skipped ahead a few verses, but okay.
And didn't even wait for the mysterious ticking noise.
Yeah. So he gets in there and all the portraits are empty because they're all obviously going to look at the battle and stuff, and even Dumbledore's, which is a shame. I kind of wish that Dumbledore's was there.
Well, I'm getting ahead of myself a bit, but essentially Harry looks at Snape's memories and like... As we get... we'll go through it and I'll... And I've got a thing to say at the end. So Harry looks at Snape's memories.
Yes, he puts them all in a big fucking bowl and goes dunk.
Yeah, and goes...
And then puts his head in. Yeah, so then he sees Snape as a boy looking at a little ginger girl and her brunette sister, and it's Lily and Petunia.
Yeah.
And Lily's doing magic, and Snape comes out and is like, ah, you're a witch, and I'm a wizard, and your sister's a fucking mudblood. And I don't know what it means, but they're highly offended because of his tone.
Yes, Snape's always had that talent.
Yes, he can make any word sound dastardly. Like, I don't know, what's a very nice word?
Pelvis.
Pelvis. That was crap.
How dare you?
No, you're a witch and I'm a wizard and your sister is a pelvis. She is not a pelvis. And then it goes to an interesting one, which kind of is a callback to a book 5 moment where Snape and Lily are talking on like a riverbank, and Snape's telling her about the Dementors and stuff, and then Petunia was like spying on them and overhears. And in book 5, if you remember, when Harry's telling him about the Dementors, and Vernon's like, oh, that's fucking sounds like all codswallop. And then Petunia's like, no, it's true. The Dementors are a thing. I remember that fucking greasy-haired boy telling her or her all about them.
Yeah.
I remember
fucking
now.
Fucking hell, Petunia knows about the fucking Dementors.
Yeah, because she says, yeah, I remember that boy telling my sister about them. And you're like, at the time, you're like, oh, you assume she means James.
Yeah, Jammy James.
Jammy Potts.
Yeah, Jammy, quote marks, Dodger Potter.
His friends call him Jam Jar.
Yeah, his friends just call him Preserve.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get, like, them getting on the Hogwarts Express and Petunia being a trolley wallop about it. And then Lily being like, oh, I don't think I didn't find that fucking letter that you sent to Dumbledore begging him to let you go.
You fucking pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah, you fucking stay home and work on your fucking Kegels, you dirty bitch. but then Petunia's like, oh, I wouldn't want to go to a school full of freaks, and starts like getting all upset and stuff. And then we see them at school being all how they are, and then we see the moment from book 4, the aftermath of the book 5 moment where Snape calls Lily a mudblood. So it's like, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean it. And then Lily's like, yeah, I think you did though. And he's like, oh, but we're meant to be best friends. And she's like, well, we were /are, but I don't like the people you're hanging around with. They're all fucking dark.
Yeah, you and your Death Eater friends. And then she's like, so you don't even deny it. You all can't wait to go and join you know who. You call everyone of my birth mudblood, so why should I be different?
He's like, well, because you're ginger and I like the smell of your coochie. She's like...
Then we see adult Snape.
Yeah, on a hillside.
Yeah.
Making love to a rabbit hole.
And then Dumbledore arrives and Snape says, don't kill me!
and was like, I won't kill you, I want to join in. You see, Snape, I'm also a sexual deviant.
Yes, you disgust me.
Yes.
But I like it.
No, fucking Snape's like, look, he's going to go and kill Lily because he thinks that she's the one the prophecy is referring to. Can you, like, save them and stuff? And Dumbledore's like, well, haven't you just told Snape that you don't want her to kill the boy? No, don't want him to kill Voldemort. Lily. Just, you know, take the boy instead or something. And then Snape's like, yeah, I did. And then Dumbledore's like, you sicken me. Now suck my toe. And Snape's like, ugh.
Ew, it's all dirty.
Yes, I know it is.
Yes. I was going to make a fucking Horcrux joke. I was like, I can't be bothered. It will take like a minute to get to the punchline. Anyway, yeah, Snake's like, oh, I know I'm a little bastard, but look, can you do anything? Can you just hide the lot of them then? But Dumbledore's like, well, what are you going to do for me? And he's like, what?
He says, what will you give me in return? And Snape says,
anything.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a song that starts with anything. I couldn't. I think there's an Enya song. Anything. What's that? Do you know any Enya songs?
I don't think so. I'm just thinking of anywhere you want it, that's the way you need it.
Oh, that'd have been perfect. I think that's what I was kind of getting to, but I couldn't.
I think that's by Enya.
Yeah. No, if it was, it'd have all like spooky like a reverb and stuff.
Yeah.
Be like, anywhere you... No, I'm just singing her fucking song again. Yeah.
Anyway, you want it, that's the way you need it. Anyway, you want it.
Good, now I have your word.
And then that's an unbreakable pact.
Yes. It's not called an unbreakable vow in this instance. It's called an unvacable. Fuck it, I fucked it up. Anyway. and then cut to Dumbledore's office, and it's after Snape... obviously found Lily's body and took her eyes and put them in his mouth.
Took them out of her baby's hand. No, not for you.
No, they're mine.
You've got your own eyes.
As you can see, I've stabbed mine out.
Yes, I need these to put in my sockets. They're mine, mine. Oh, how I love it. Mine, mine. Dead eyes for cheap. Mine, mine.
Sorry, I'm just wanting to sing the whole Pocahontas soundtrack. Any fucking way. Yeah, Snape's really upset about it, obviously.
Yeah, he's all like, I thought you would protect her, etc.
Yeah, Dumbledore's like, oh, I tried.
Yeah, I tried. They put their faith in the wrong person.
Much like you, Severus. Yeah, and then we see...
And he says, yeah, he says, if you loved her, your path forward is clear. You must do what you can to keep her son safe, because he'll be in grave danger when the Dark Lord returns. And Snape's like, very well, but give me your word, you will never tell a soul.
We'll never tell anyone about the best of you, Snape. You have my word. Yeah, so we get to the bit after Dumbledore has tried on the ring.
Oh, yeah, and he's got a little black hand.
Yeah. And Snape's like, oh, why didn't you call me sooner? I could have joined in and we both could have had a go on the ring. And then... And then I was like, oh, I know. Oh, I don't know what Dumbledore had Snape's voice. Oh, Snape, sorry. I put on the ring and now I have your voice. It was so good that it blew out my esophagus. Oh, Snape's like, oh, imagine how my voice would be if I had had a go.
What would like Snape's voice but like doubled in intensity sound like?
Oh, I don't think I can do it because
Snape's voice is like here. Double, double, double the intensity would be down here. Turn points to Slytherin.
Oh, Snape, you sound like you're on the verge. Yeah, but he's like, oh, why would you try on a cursed ring? Like, obviously it would be cursed, like something that looks like that. Dumbledore's it was a bad mistake.
I was a fool, I was tempted.
Yes.
I've contained the curse in one hand for the time being. How long do you think I have? Maybe a year.
Yes, unfortunately, we haven't got the medications available yet to give you a full life. But alas, you will survive until your immune system is too weak to battle off even a common cold. So no sneezy sneezy for you. Yeah, and then they basically talk about Malfoy and stuff like that. And Dumbledore's like, look, Malfoy's soul isn't so damaged that I would be happy with him killing me. So, like, you have to do it. And Snape's like, but what about my soul? And Dumbledore's like, oh, only you can
determine. I don't give a shit about your soul, mate.
Yeah, you haven't even got one. And he's like, look, if you think, like, it'll be down to you if you think that, you know, helping put an old man out of his misery and save him from a fucking dastardly death will damage your soul. And Snape's like, harumph. Yeah. And then we get the final scene.
We do?
Yeah, with them talking about the Horcruxes, basically. And then Dumbledore's like, look, Harry's the last Horcrux because he's got a bit of Voldersol in his head that got blasted off Voldemort when he tried to kill him. And only after he's dead will Voldemort be truly killable. And so it's like, you've been raising him like a lamb for slaughter, or a pig for slaughter, or a cow for slaughter. You've been raising him like a barnyard animal for slaughter. And Dumbledore's like, oh, are you surprised, Snape? And Snape's like, no. And then he's like, yeah, but it's essential that fucking Voldemort has to do it. It has to be by Voldemort's hand that Harry dies. And he can't find out until the point where Voldemort's snake is being protected. Because if he finds out before, then he might not have like the sort of the stuff to go through with the rest of the tasks that he has to.
Yeah. So when there comes a point where Voldemort is taking particular care to keep his snake close to him under magical protection, then it's time to tell the boy that he needs to die.
Yes. And then Harry takes his face. Oh, no. And then after the slaughter comment and stuff, Dumbledore's like, no, Snape says something like, oh, that's fucking bang out of order. And then Dumbledore's like, have you grown to care for the boy? And then Snape fucking waves his wand and a doe Patronus shoots out and runs around the place. And Dumbledore goes, Lily, after all this time. And he goes,
always.
And everyone's like, oh, you said the thing.
You said the line, guys. You said the line. Yeah. And
yeah.
The memory ends and Harry's
not
like,
not quite. We get,
really?
We get a memory of Snape talking to Dumbledore's portrait.
Oh, yeah. And the whole bit with the sword. I forgot about
that.
Yeah.
And this was the bit that I kind of had a bit of an issue with, because I didn't like that Dumbledore, despite being dead, was still kind of orchestrating things from a status as a portrait.
I
feel like it kind of undermines his death, undermines like the impact of his death if he's actually still calling the shots just as a portrait.
I know what you mean, but maybe it was like more of Snape would ask him a question about what to do and then he could answer, rather than Dumbledore being able to freely offer.
No, but he does. He says, well, I don't know about freely offering information. He is like instructing Snape. He says it's important that you give Voldemort the correct time and date for Harry's departure, because otherwise it might look suspicious. But you need to give the Order of the Phoenix idea to do decoy duplicate Harry's. Try confunding Mundungus Fletcher. And if you end up in the chase, you've got to play your part convincingly, because you need to remain in Voldemort's good books or Hogwarts will be left to the Carrows.
Probably like maybe Snape had asked him the question before that.
Yeah, maybe.
And so maybe Dumbledore.
But it leaves me thinking like that's a good amount of like wisdom. I mean, how much, I guess it's what, just like a faint kind of remnant of Dumbledore.
Yeah, and the portraits seem to like appear magically, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of this kind of thing that we can't fully grasp.
Well, this is it. That's it. But the fact that, for me anyway, the fact that he's able to give that level of like advice and to guide the whole to still kind of be masterminding the situation, it feels like.
It is a bit weird, isn't it? And it's, yeah, you're right. It kind of makes Dumbledore's actual death feel a bit redundant.
Yeah, because it's like, well, he's not dead then, is he? If he's still pulling the strings. Like, I don't think it would have been too big of a, I think the issue is that they, how would it have been possible to convey Snape just having those ideas himself? He could have been conversing with Phineas Nigellus, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so.
But then even that's still a portrait.
Yeah, I would love to know what the limitations of a portrait are, apart from like their locations, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would be just like having the dead person there, other than, it would be like having like a video chat with the dead person all the time instead.
Yeah, exactly. Them,
you know? But yeah, we get, so there's those like few moments. The one thing he does say that Dumbledore's like, make sure that the sword is taken by Harry under conditions of like something and valor. So he
What is it? Under conditions of need and valor. So I guess that kind of answers our question of why he had to put it at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah. But she's like, oh, fuck. If that's the case then why did Dumbledore try and like will it to him, you know? Unless Dumbledore, like painting Dumbledore, came to a realisation about the sword after the fact.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, then that's the end of it, right?
That,
and then he pulls his head out just in time and then he releases all over the table. Like, I'm not getting that bold pregnant. Yeah, then we kind of just go into chapter 34, the forest again, right?
Yes.
So Harry's all fucking like,
oh, I'm going to die. Oh, no.
I'm going to die and I never got to Cho Her Chang.
Or Ginny Her Weasley.
Ginny needs her wheezy. Anyway, so Harry fucking like sort of takes like a really slow walk back down from the tower, like considering everything.
Yeah, he's about halfway into his allotted hour and the castle is still and silent, and he passes pretty much undetected in his cloak.
Yeah, until he bumps into Neville.
Yeah, sneaks up on him, gives him a little tickle.
Yeah.
And says, kill the snake, Neville.
Kill the spare, Neville. And I was like, which spare? He's like, that's for you to decide. But no, he bumps into him and he takes his cloak off and he's like, oh, Neville.
By the way, mate.
Yeah. Do you know what, mate? If you get a chance.
Yeah, just if you get it. Don't worry too much about it.
Yeah, if you see it and you happen to have a sharp weapon in your hand, just, you know. He says, look, it's kind of important that we kill the snake, Voldemort's snake. So if you get a chance and, you know, Ron and Hermione aren't around to do it, could you just, you know, like, have a go? And he was like, oh, I'll do my best, Harry, I'll do my best. And he's like, oh, thanks, mate. Gives him a punch on the arm and says, do you know what, Neville? I'm really glad that your parents aren't here to see this.
You're a fucking disgrace, mate.
And then Harry fucking starts walking towards the forest.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no. Sings it.
What fucking song was that?
That was just Harry's original musical number about how he's going to die.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm heading to the forest. Feels so cold. And I'm kind of feeling Harris Slughorn.
See, I knew if I just teed you up. Give me a couple of notes.
But yeah, he starts like thinking about things and how time flies like a banana and
yes, to quote the exact wording used in the book.
And then he thinks of the snitch. Really, he thinks of Snatch, and then he thinks of Ginny's Snatch, and then he remembers that she's on the Quidditch team, and then he thinks of the snitch.
Ah, yes. I love to open Ginny's Snatch, so
yes. And then he's like, oh, the snitch. And then he has the bag still around his neck, which I was like, that's weird, but okay. But yeah, then he goes, oh, the snitch. He takes out the snitch and he kisses it and he's like, I'm about to die. And then the words come up, like, say,
and it goes,
open
boop!
And close.
Congratulations, you're the winner.
I don't know if that joke's good. I was going to make like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory joke, and I was like, I don't know, is that funny?
You stole fizzy lifting drinks?
I said good day.
We haven't even watched that film yet.
I know. Fuck, you know, we're like pre-making Patreon clips.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Harry, the fucking snitch opens and the little rock comes out. Harry goes, fucking hell, yeah, it's that thing. So he holds it in his hand.
Turns it over three times and four people come out.
Yeah, three times is just to activate it.
Okay.
It's like, it's not how many times you've got to do it for it to thingy.
Well, that was unclear. All right, so Harry turns it thrice.
Yeah.
And all the people he wants comes out of it.
Yes, it's his ma, his da, his
godfather.
Yeah.
And his friar.
And they all look fucking good and spooky and pearlescent.
Yes.
And all covered in muck.
All covered in spook.
And they're all butt naked.
Like, yes, you don't take clothes with you to the afterlife, Harry.
No, you walk around naked. Do you remember that whole bit about what happens in the afterlife, Harry? Everyone's... what was it? It was like everyone like licks each other out or something like that. Everyone's like licking each other's bum holes.
There was a whole like anuses on wings or something, and it's just a big rimming party.
Yes, Harry, what that girl said in that moment is absolutely true. Look, look, look how rosy my bum hole is. And James turns around and bends over and like Lily like points to it.
Sirius and Lupin are like, well, that is a rosy. You've been here longer than us, James.
Yes. And then Lily's like, look, I got like a Day of the Dead skull tattooed over my hole. Obviously, the mouth on the skull is where my anus is. Look. And she parts. And Harry's like, wow, yes, that is one glorious Mexican parade. So serious, what have you got? He's
like, well. I see, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Lupin, I assume some sort of wolf.
It's like, no, Harry, why would you ever think that? I have a pineapple.
A real one, not a drawing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, you can just see the leaves popping out the end.
Oh, God. Every time you pull it out, a new one appears. It's like a pineapple vending machine. Alas, they called me Pina Colada in the afterlife. Pina Calupin, there we go.
Remus Lupina Colada. All right, now Sirius, what about you?
Yeah. Sirius, like, they took away my arsehole. That's what happened when I fell through the curtain.
It's the most terrible way to be killed, Harry. Yeah.
My arsehole and my pee-pee just vanished, and I was left like a smooth Ken doll. Alas, no more pesky trips to the bathroom.
But no rim party.
Yes, they can just lick the smooth underside of my carriage. It's okay though, I cover it in lip balm. And so Harry's like, oh fucking hell, I can't believe you're here. And his mum's like, I'm so proud of you, Harry.
You've been so brave.
Yeah, and then he turns to Sirius and he's like, does it hurt? And Sirius is like, getting a bollocks bitten off? Yes, of course. It feels like exactly what you think, Harry. It feels like a fucking jaw clamping, pulling, and tearing. Once it's over, you have the best orgasm you've ever had. Why do you think we used to play in the house with Lupin?
Haven't lived till you've played dangly wolf bollocks, Harry.
Yes, we'd all just fucking steal a bottle of bollocks grow from Madame Pomfrey's. No, Sirius is like, nah, it feels like falling asleep, mate.
Yeah, you'll be fine, mate. Don't worry. Fucking get on with it.
Yeah. I think this is about when I started crying. I just got really emotional. I've done that kind of emotional thing I do when I get really overwhelmed with emotion, where like my bottom lip like does like a full like upside down like curve. I'm trying to like hold in like the tears.
No.
I will say, though, in the film, Daniel Radcliffe doesn't sell this bit at all, and it really fucking pisses me off.
No.
No.
Can't remember the film.
That's because it's so unmemorable. The best thing about it is its special effects.
I mean, that's the case for all the films, really. Well, yeah. I mean, the visuals in general are the best thing about all the films.
Yeah, and the score.
Yes, that's true.
If we just could have like visual effects interpretations of the score, that'd be the best Harry Potter film ever, I think.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Are you good at visual effects?
I mean, the YouTube tutorials will be fine.
Just that, an electric guitar, and I don't know. What's a very gifted instrument?
The keytar.
Yeah, boy! Might as well face it, you're addicted to snitch. So yeah, they all, Harry's like, will you stay with me? And then they're like, yeah, to the bitter end. I mean, not the bitter end, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Until you drop the stone.
Yeah. So yeah, Harry walks into the forest under his cloak and with his companions who are acting like Patroni to him.
Yes.
By keeping him all snugly and warm against the Dementors. Spooky. Yes. Chills. Spooky chills. Spills. Or the Chookies.
Dementors and their Chookies. They got chills.
And look, they're multiplying.
So he sees Yaxley and Dolohov like on lookout at the sort of edge of the forest, I guess, or like not too deep into the forest.
Yeah, they are like, I heard a crack on a twig over there. He's got a cloak, remember?
And Voldemort's like, I thought he would come, but it seems I was mistaken.
Yes, he thought he would come, but alas, Voldemort was just not sexy enough, you see.
I was just too distracted.
Yeah, Voldemort was standing there in his snakeskin bra and thong, and his like platform shoes with clear heels. And he's like,
obviously, I am not the one.
And I was like, no, you're beautiful. I'm sure you'll find someone. Good, yeah. And then Harry's like, you were wrong about not finding someone. Because I'm here to be with you forever and ever in your castle of snakes and bones.
Take me to the rim party.
Yeah. And Voldemort was like,
I thought you'd never ask.
And then he blows a whistle and the Venglebus appears.
And Hagrid's like, no, Harry.
No, Ariel. But yeah, Harry drops the stone as well. And then when he does that, the figures vanish.
Yeah.
And yeah, Harry's like, he wanted it just to be done quick. And he's ready for it now. And he sees Voldemort mouths and words. And then some fucking green light just fucking appears. But it doesn't appear. It comes from a wand. It comes from Voldemort's wand, in fact.
Yes. And it hits him.
And everything goes white or blank or...
green.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Everything goes spooky. And Harry's like, it's all in my mouth.
Oh, there's anuses everywhere.
Yeah. Look, little anuses with wings on. And they're like, oh, Harry, welcome.
Tell me, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
But yeah, it's the end of this fucking like bit. We're so close. We're one more episode away, guys.
Yeah, one more episode.
We got the King's Cross chapter, whatever the chapter is after that, and then 19 years later.
And then 19 years later, yeah.
And that's it. Fucking hell, I can't believe we got here.
Yeah.
So glad we made it. Cease and desist, we'll never change it. No, no, no. yeah, well, thank you for listening, guys. If you want any more of our fucking jammy tales, I was trying to make a callback to whatever jammy dodger joke I made earlier on in the episodes, but I can't remember any of them. But yeah, fucking sign up to our Patreon. It's $3.99 a month. And on the first and third Friday of every month, you get a brand new episode from our kick-ass series, Poorly Read Adler Movies.
Or cinema.
Yeah, Poorly Read or cinema. But yeah, fucking, we give the polyred treatment to your favourite flicks, and I really like it, and so do many other people. So come be part of the cool crowd and join up. Yeah, patreon.com/polyred.
Polyred. Indeed. Also, head over and get some sexy, spooky merch from polyred.redbubble.com. Got some lovely designs. You can have them printed on all sorts of lovely shit.
Yes, it's really good. We've seen one of the bits of merch in person now, and it's fucking sick. So do it. Buy stuff. It's worth the money.
It's bloody lovely.
Yeah. And what else can we do? Oh, visit us on our social media on Instagram and Twitter at polyredpod. Email us at polyred@gmail.com.
That'd
with
be nice,
your
yeah.
Tings. And then give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app.
Yeah.
Because it helps us get seen by more people who can join our cult.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely, yeah. That, isn't it? Yeah.
Bloody lovely, that, isn't it? Yeah. Without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And I don't know. What's been our most prominent joke this episode? I don't know. Maybe like the anal pineapple bit. An anal pineapple has been anal pineapple.